Any of you ever get stressed out when you're ordering at Subway? Where else in the world do you face so many decisions in 5 minutes? And usually there's five hungry people behind you kind of breathing down your neck, right? Like, what kind of bread? That's where it starts. And what kind of cheese? Do you want that toasted or not? And then you get to all those vegetables. And then the dressings and the seasonings. By the time you get to the register, I usually feel kind of relieved. Unless I forgot something. A lot of decisions there at Subway, but today I want to talk about bigger decisions in life, decisions that have more importance. And what's the question many believers want to know when it comes to decisions? What is God's will, right? How many times have you asked it? How many times have you heard it? I want to paraphrase Ray Stedman here. He said, if we approach the problem assuming that God's will is primarily circumstances, we will never come to a satisfying answer. The will of God is not a program, it is a relationship. It is not primarily what you do, it is who you are. It is really a question of acceptance of His lordship over every aspect of your life. And I believe that's worth holding on to. But we still face real questions throughout our lives, right? Questions that we'd like some guidance on when we're at those crossroads. Things like, who should I choose as my closest friends? High school students, what math class should I choose this year that'll help best in my future in college? Who should I date or who should I marry? Where should I work or go to college? How should I serve in the church and in the world? I don't know where you sit today. Maybe you find yourself at a crossroads. You got a decision to make. Thankfully, the Lord gives us some principles in Proverbs to help for making decisions. I want to walk through those this morning. The first one is, when you got a decision to make, do not rush. Do not rush. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. I read that and I think about it. Just because something looks so very promising, just because it feels so good, and just because it seems so right in the moment, does not mean it is. Slow down. Don't be like the fly who focuses on the sweet nectar, the shiny colors, and the fruity smell, but then finds itself being slowly digested inside of the Venus flytrap. Once that mouth is closed, if you could reach your ear down and hear that bzz, bzz, bzz inside and translate it, I think what it might say is, I probably should have thought that through. That leads nicely into the next verse. Proverbs 14:15, the simple believes everything, but the prudent gives thought to his steps. What's this saying? It's saying, please don't be Mr. or Mrs. Gullible. Don't be the one that believes everything you hear. Don't be that reed shaken by the wind that blows whichever way the wind of opinion happens to be going that day or that year or that decade. Slow down. Give some thought to what you're about to step into. 14:16, one who is wise is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is reckless. Caution is not always thought of highly in our just do it, you only live once society, right? But this proverb says the wise person exercises caution at the crossroads. He looks to see if is there evil ahead, and if there is, he turns away. What's the fool's motto? Ready, fire, aim. Right? And then he finds himself sifting through the wreckage. 14:8. The wisdom of the prudent is to discern his way, to look at it and evaluate it in light of God's truth. But the folly of fools is deceiving. And I read this verse and I think about something. It only takes a split second to be deceived. Have you found that in your life? Have you been there? Discernment usually takes some time, but it's time well spent. Gives us time to do our next thing that'll help us when we face a decision. Be observant. Be observant. We heard this verse last week, but we're going to bring it in again this week. 20:12. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both. The Lord has blessed us with four inputs. Four inputs. Two eyes and two ears. Use them when you're at the crossroads. Evaluate the situation and the circumstances. Ask questions. Sometimes I do, and maybe you do, you write out that list of pros and cons, right? That can be a good thing. I think about advice, maybe you've gotten this when you're buying a car, used or otherwise. Do not get emotionally attached too quickly. Stay objective, right? Ask the questions that need to be asked. Get the input you need before you make the choice. 22:3. The prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it. Now I look at this verse and I wonder, is it that the simple man saw the same danger that the prudent man saw and kept going anyway? Maybe, or could it be that the simple didn't even look? He just ran full steam ahead into a scenario that ended up bringing suffering. I think about this and see if you can finish this with me. What do moms everywhere love to teach their kids at moments like this? I'd rather be a live chicken than a dead duck. That's some mom wisdom there. Next one. Seek wise counsel. Seek wise counsel. 18 verse 1. Whoever isolates himself, gets himself alone at that crossroads, seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. And I think about that first line there. Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. And many would say, what in the world is wrong with that? Making a decision on my own to pursue my desire. Because we live in a world that says, if you want it, man, go get it. The trouble is, my desires, your desires can be deceptive. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things. 18 verse 2 says, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. Sometimes when we want something foolish really bad, we can be very persuasive. We can be very persuasive to ourselves, and we can be very persuasive to others around us. We're too busy shouting our own opinion to hear the voice of reason, the voice of truth. We're too busy convincing to be convicted by the truth. It's like kids when they go like this, la, 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 I can hear you, la, la, la. Don't be that guy. 15:12, a scoffer does not like to be reproved. He will not go to the wise. 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. Listen, sometimes we refuse to bounce our decision off others who have wisdom because we know what they'll say is not what we want to hear. And we miss out. Disclaimer here. What other people think or say is not always right. Okay, we got to establish that here. When we know what God's word says, it does not matter if 100 people say different. We follow God's word. We also know that not everyone in the world truly has our best interest in mind. There are those who criticize constantly only to crush. Encouragement is a foreign language to them. I'll nickname them biters. I think of Galatians 5:15. It says, if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. Okay? But there are others. Who are those others in your life who love the Lord, love you genuinely, and have wisdom that you could benefit from? They may not always agree with you. They probably don't. They don't always say easy things, but they care enough about you to speak truth. We'll call them builders. You got biters and builders. Avoid the biters. Seek out the builders. What God makes clear is this. We miss out if we make all our decisions in a vacuum without seeking the input of the builders in our lives. Over and over, Proverbs advises pulling in a team. 20 verse 18, plans are established by counsel, by wise guidance wage war. 11:14, where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. Without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. And I think about this whole section about seeking wise counsel. I think about a testimony we heard this week. It's about a girl. She saw some guys that she wanted to date, and all of her friends warned her, these guys are bad news. But this girl was drawn to these guys because they paid attention to her. So she isolated herself away from her friends, pointing her the other way, and went ahead and got involved with these guys. Things played out, and in the end, you know what she said? After those relationships were shattered, she said, those guys really did hurt me. I wish I had listened to my friends. We can learn from a moment like that. We can also, next point, learn from the past. Learn from the past. That's one way to make sure the past is not wasted in our lives. 26:11, like a dog that returns to his vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. That's a picture there. How many of you ever watched a dog do this and thought to yourself, now that's just nasty? Dogs are not real good at discerning what they eat. Right? Put it in front of them and there's a decent chance they'll wolf it down, whether it's good for them or not. Dirt, sand, paper, chalk, plastic, and worse. The dog looks at it and says, don't mind if I do. And many of them, not just once, they keep on doing it. We watch and think to ourselves, what is wrong with that dog? This repeated eating of bad things by dogs is so common, there's a name for it. Did you know that? Pica. P-I-C-A, pica. But this proverb says the foolish person does the same thing spiritually. When we've already been down a harmful path, we've reaped the consequences, seen the result, and then decide, hey, I think I'll try that again. If your dog could speak, maybe he would say, what is wrong with that guy? This repeated returning to the same sin over and over among humans is so common, it too has a name. foolishness. Learn from the past. Learn from the past. This next one I'm going to get into is the most important. Keep on learning from the Lord. Keep on learning from the Lord. We've been to this verse before, but it's central to the whole book. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. This brings up some really important questions. Do I trust God wholeheartedly with all that I am? Am I leaning on him as I make decisions? Or if I'm honest, do I trust my own instincts more than I trust God? I'm going to give you a 5-question test that will help us discern if we're trusting in the Lord at our decision points. First question, number one, have I trusted Christ as my Lord and Savior? Because that's where it all begins. If you're here this morning and you hear nothing else, that's step one. That's where you enter that relationship with the Father. Have I trusted Christ as my Savior? Number two, when I come to a decision, do I pray about it? Do I pray about my decisions? Number three, if I knew what he wanted, especially if it differs from my current thinking, would I be willing to do what I wanted? What he wanted? Would I be willing? Because if I'm not willing, I might as well not waste my time seeking his will. God knows when we're playing games. But if I am willing, I can claim the promise of John 7:17. Jesus said, if anyone's will is to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God. Am I willing? Number four, am I allowing myself to be led by the Spirit, moment by moment, depending on the guidance and power of the Holy Spirit in my life? Romans 8:14 says, all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Am I yielded and following the Spirit? Number five, and we'll come back to this in a moment, am I immersed in the Word of God? If I say I trust God, but I'm not in here, that's a head scratcher. That's a head scratcher. And I think about this. I think about a couple that said, go ahead and share our story because we wanted to get out of what God's doing. Tears and darkness had come to their home recently. It was a husband, wife, and some children at home. The husband was getting drunk, and it was threatening to destroy their whole home. They both have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. This was something that had gone back generations in his family. Together, I want to tell you something. They made a bold decision to call and come meet. And together, we prayed. We looked at Scripture on the issue. We charted a path forward. Fast forward several weeks from that first meeting. The same couple sat across from me with tears, but of a different kind, tears of joy and a smile. You see, he had made a bold decision to remove all alcohol from his house. He had also decided he's willing to meet with some men from the church for encouragement and accountability, and peace was already beginning to return to their home. He and his sons want to be baptized. And Lord willing, we'll get to share in that moment someday. Now, I know it's going to be a journey, but they've taken the first step. And what was at the bottom of this decision for him? Well, my last meeting with him, his wife told me something. She said, he texted me the other morning that he was out on a walk and praying to God. And she said, he never sends texts like this. So I asked him, what happened? He said, I was out walking, talking to God. And I started listing out my needs to him. When it hit me, he already knows exactly what I need. And I just made the choice to submit to him. That's where change begins. And I'm telling you, if I could bottle up the peace and smiles on their faces and sell it, I'd be a millionaire. But it all went back to some decisions that flowed out of their relationship with the Lord. And that relationship has been paid in full by our Savior on the cross. Back to the Word, how central this is and should be in our decisions. 13:13, whoever despises the Word brings destruction on himself. But he who reveres the commandment will be rewarded. There's a great promise in Romans 12:2. Wonder how many of us have taken God up on it. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God. What is good and acceptable and perfect. How many of you want to discern the will of God? How? Renewal of your mind. How do you renew your mind? Time in God's Word. Day in and day out. Now, let's be honest here. You're not going to find a verse in here that tells you the name of the person you should marry or the name of the company you should work for. What you will find clearly spelled out is His moral will. That's 99% of the battle right there. I like what Max Anders said. He said, if we follow God's moral will, there is little danger of missing His circumstantial will. When we live each moment with this mindset, then when God wants to redirect us, He can. Now think about this. How has this played out in my own life? I'll just give two examples. Decisions. Sometimes God's leading in decisions is pretty straightforward. In our lives, I think about when I asked Carolyn to marry me. We were in our 26th year now, and I think back, and I remember there were no hearts in the clouds with Carolyn's name in the middle. Like there was no voice from heaven, thou shalt marry Carolyn Horstman. Well, what did happen? I spent time with her in a church college group, then dated her for 7 months. I saw who she is. I saw that she checked all the boxes I knew from God's Word in a spouse. She believes in and loves Christ. She follows Him with all her heart. She spends time in God's Word every day and prays to Him often. She loves His people and serves them. And she's beautiful to boot. I'm enthralled with her, and that's biblical too, if you haven't read Song of Solomon. So I said, I'm going to pop the question. 26 years in, I'm so thankful I did. But that was all straightforward, okay? But I do think also sometimes in our lives, God goes the extra mile in His leading because He knows we need it. We need the confirmation. And I think about that when it came to the decision to step out of the last ministry we were a part of and into the journey that led to the church next door. It started with 2 years of restlessness inside. Could not put my finger on what it was. And near the end of that 2 years, I went to a conference with some buddies from the church I was at. And the weekend of that conference, 4 times in 4 days, God brought me to Exodus, where Moses was at the burning bush. And you know Moses' big question when God said, you're the one that's going to lead my people out? His big question was, who am I? And that was always my question when I ever thought about possibly ever planting a church. Who am I? And I still have that question. It still applies, but God's answer is what matters. I will be with you. 4 times in 4 days it came up in 4 different ways. And then I'm at the conference and the speaker talked to the pastor there and he said, the Lord is going to call some of you into a new season. The question is, will you surrender? I got down on my knees and I said, I don't know all the details, but yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And I came home and I had the conversation I knew I needed to have. I need to talk to Carolyn because we got a baby and a mortgage. And we're pretty secure, but hey, this is what God's putting on my heart. And she looked at me and she said, I believe He's putting it on my heart too. I'm with you. And then the icing on the cake, Someone had left a voicemail at my church office while I was gone at that conference. Someone I hadn't talked to in 2 years. Someone in California. And he said, hey, I was just calling because the other day I was making toast in my boxers in the kitchen. And I just felt led to pray for you. I'm like, I didn't need to know that. But he said, hey, I just felt led to pray for you. And I said, what did you feel led to pray? He said, I felt led to pray that God would give you the faith to step out and do whatever he's calling you to do. I believe the Holy Spirit prompted him to bring that confirmation. I also believe there are times he just gives us freedom to choose. You don't have to agonize whether you put on the blue socks or the red socks. Just make sure you ask your wife first. A little humor there for the husband, sorry. Listen, however God leads you, be it through the prompting of his Spirit, the counsel of others, the coming together of circumstances, or one of those situations where he's given you freedom to choose, you must remember this. It will never, ever contradict his written word. Look at this next verse. 13:13, I believe. No, 19:27, I'm sorry. Cease to hear instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. There are many people today attributing things to the Holy Spirit that have nothing holy about them. If it contradicts God's word, it is not from God. Final one, hold your plans loosely. 27:1, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. Does it say don't make plans? No, it just says don't boast about tomorrow, for you don't know what a day may bring. Now, there's a humbling side to that, but there's a wonderful side to it also. When you realize you're not in control, I pray it reminds you of the loving Father above who is in complete control. And I believe no matter how good your plans are, his are better. We may not see it that way, but we may not feel that way at the moment, but I believe that. Ephesians 1:11 says he works all things according to the counsel of his will, and I'm so thankful for that. Maybe you've been there. You've made a plan, and it didn't come out anything like you thought, but in the end, it came out better. I think of a song by Audio Adrenaline called Good Life. It sums it up. You say, this is the good life. I've lost everything I could ever want and ever dream of. This is the good life. I found everything I could need here in your arms. Ever been there? Quick review. You're at that crossroads. Don't rush. Be observant. Seek wise counsel. Learn from the past. Keep learning from the Lord. And hold your plans loosely. As you contemplate that, I'll close with a word from F.B. Meyer. He was a famous London pastor in the 19th century. He said, we often make a great mistake thinking that God is not guiding us at all because we cannot see far in front. But this is not God's method. He only undertakes that the steps of a good person would be ordered by the Lord, not next year, but tomorrow, not the next mile, but the next yard, not the whole pattern, but the next stitch in the canvas. If you expect more than this, you will be disappointed. But his method will secure for you leading in the right way, as you will acknowledge when you review it from the hilltops of glory. Father, thank you so much. So much that you don't leave us here wandering in the dark. You point us first to our need for a Savior whose death and resurrection we're going to remember in a moment through communion. Thank you for the cross, Lord. The blood that was spilled, the body that was broken. Thank you for the resurrection that those who trust in you may receive eternal life and become your children. That's where the journey begins, walking in your ways. May we never forget that. May we come to that trust, and may we walk in the Spirit. May we depend on your word. And I pray specifically for anyone who finds themselves this morning wrestling with a heavy decision. I pray that your Spirit would lead them, that these principles would help them, and you'd give them joy as they walk forward hand in hand with you. I do pray that you prepare our hearts for this remembrance of the cross. The elements will be passed. I ask you to hold them. I invite believers in Jesus Christ to share communion after this next song. We praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.